Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your trainer, Melanie Cole, is here to motivate and help you perform. It's time now for Train Your Body.
You know, exercise addiction may not necessarily sound like a bad thing to everyone after all, you know. Unlike other addictions, exercise is good for you, and you are encouraged by all of the experts to exercise and try and get some physical activity every day. But what if exercise takes a darker turn and it becomes, like any other addiction, something that you cannot only not live without, which there again is a little problem. You shouldn't live without exercise, but this would be something that you cannot live without, and that if you do, causes certain other problems in your life. My guest is Dr. Michelle Olson. She's a professor of exercise physiology at Auburn University in Montgomery. Welcome to the show, Dr. Olson. Exercise addiction, is it real?
Yeah. Hi, Melanie. It's a really interesting topic, that's for sure. And you know what you just said? I mean, we're begging the public, please do 10 minutes of exercise, you know? And to be talking about something like exercise addiction, it's clear on the other end of the spectrum. And I think, you're so right. It's one of the few things that, maybe you can kind of hide behind because, gee, aren't we all supposed to be exercising and aren't we supposed to be exercising most days of the week? But it can take a dark side, and it can be troublesome. Too much of anything, is not a good thing. For example, if you have a lot of anxiety about missing an exercise class because you're ill, you are running a temperature, but you go and you exercise anyway. Or let's say you have a really important appointment. It's time for you to go, for like your mammogram, and breast cancer's in your family. And, oh my gosh, they can't schedule you except the normal times you go to exercise, and you cancel or you skip out on your mammogram. Those are signs that your exercise is controlling you and you're not controlling your exercise. And like if you're sick or missing your mammogram appointment, you're ultimately compromising your health, and all this extra exercise is backfiring, obviously anyway, if it's going to help you to not get well faster or to miss important appointments or something like a doctor's appointment.
Okay, so, I mean, when, like any other addiction, Dr. Olson, when exercise, which is so good for you, becomes something that affects the quality of your life in a negative way, maybe you're starting to really smell bad and you don't seem to care and you don't wash before going to work and you just have to get your exercise in and the rest be damned if you don't have time to clean up, or if it's taking you away from your job, or it's, making you late for work every day, anything like that could be considered. What does someone do about this?
Right.
Because
you know,
if you're addicted to alcohol, Dr. Olson, you go get help at a rehab clinic or drugs,
right.
And
very
then you
good.
Cut that particular habit out of your life, but you don't want to cut exercise out of your life.
Right. You're right. And this is related to eating disorders, and a lot of individuals who have exercise addiction also have eating disorders. And the only reason I bring up eating disorders is because, like you were saying, unlike alcohol, you can stop drinking alcohol. We have to eat. We are supposed to exercise at a certain level. We don't want to give up exercise altogether, no more than we can just give up eating altogether and, cure binge eating. So you do need a strategy. One is to start with, what are the recommendations? And for a well-rounded routine, it is the 3 to 5 days a week, 20 to 60 minutes, or 10-minute increments, building up to maybe 50 or 60 minutes. Again, 3 to 5 days a week with some days off. That is the place to start, is just to get your exercise frequency back in an appropriate range so you're getting your benefits from your exercise and not ending up injured or ill, where your exercise is actually, once again, causing you poor health. So
is this something that you think, do you think that it's something you need a professional for?
And I think you can, most definitely. There's different ways that professionals define and view exercise addiction. Some define it as somewhat of an OCD behavior, and we know that it's important to see a counselor for that, and that OCD is very treatable. Some see it as an anxiety disorder, where the only way you feel like you can relieve stress is through exercise. Well, that's not true. What about reading a book? What about going to the park with some friends, going to a movie? It's all about balancing out stress relief with a number of strategies so that you have more than one way. And many, many times a counselor, a professional, somebody knowledgeable in this can just, you know, help you to lay out some simple strategies to just get you set back on track.
Okay, so strategies, trying other things that, yes, they keep you active, and yes, they are something that is considered by a lot of standards physical activity. And if it's just really not enough for you, you're a runner, you have to go out, you just have to run, you have to run. Do you then seek professional help? Does the professional help then take you off your running is it Jones in?
Yes.
Do
I mean,
you shakes?
Think,
do you get the...
Yeah,
is it similar in addiction that way physiologically?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something to adjust to. And I'm really going to spin this positively, and I think this is true. You might be surprised how much better you feel when you're not overdoing it, how much more energy you have. There's some interesting research with ballet dancers. When they have trouble losing weight, they bring in a registered dietitian, an exercise physiologist, sometimes a counselor. They track what the dancer's been doing. Guess what? They're stuck because they're over-exercising. They increase the calories.
It's common with dancers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very common with dancers. So they actually cut the amount of exercise they're doing, and they end up seeing some positive results. They're more rested. They dropped a couple extra pounds they were working so hard to drop, but they've slowed their metabolisms down. The injuries they were getting are healing. So I think once somebody experiences what life can be like when you're using a variety of things to relieve stress and not over-exercising, how much better, healthier, and feeling and looking, you know, you are, and when in fact you were afraid to give up all the exercise because you think it might make you look worse or not be as attractive or be as in good of shape. You'd be surprised once you get it straightened out how you end up getting all the things you were seeking, but just through one avenue, and which then is over-exercise and exercise addiction.
Well,
definitely,
I think that
backfire.
You mentioned injury, and I know dancers are very susceptible to exercise addiction, as are runners. And I mean, there are certain activities that lend themselves,
yes.
Dancers, runners,
absolutely.
Gymnasts. You know, I don't think football players are so subject to exercise addiction. Maybe they are, you know, soccer players, whatever. But dancers, runners, gymnasts, all these ones that maybe wrestlers that need to stay thin. And so it's really important. Their weight is important. And so that exercise becomes even more important. So in the last minute, Dr. Olson, your best advice for something that is so good and so healthy for us, but then can increase your injury rate, chronic injuries, things that are just nagging that don't go away, that take a dark turn.
Right. If you are, you know, with exercise, if you have a huge level of anxiety, if you have to miss an exercise class or a workout session, or you do find yourself doing things like skipping appointments and maybe even exercising when you're running a fever, and you would tell anybody else you need to rest, that's probably a clue. It's fixable. Most of these things are anxiety-driven. They're fixable. You get on a more appropriate schedule. You start feeling better. You see that there are other ways of relieving stress. You have less aches and pains, and it all can feed in on itself positively, and there's nothing wrong with seeking out, you know, professional help, because like you were saying, Melanie, it is an addiction. And we know with most addictions, you get that professional help, and then you're on the right track.
And of course, it's healthy for you. But then again, make sure you're keeping track and not over-injuring yourself. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Stay well.